Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Peter Nissen. He's the sales director of Trusted, a company based in Silkeborg, Denmark. First and foremost, Peter, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Peter, as I always do with all of my accused or interviewees, I always give them a chance to tell our viewers a little bit about their career. And the same for you. How come you ended up in a company that obviously does tracking and data? And why are you not in a bank or an accountant?
I wouldn't suit behind a desk like that. I used to have my own company in a web agency, an advertising agency. So I figured before I turned 50, if I wanted to make a career change, that was the correct time. So I got a phone call one day and met with our CEO 2 days later, a couple of interviews. So I've been with Trusted now for 4 years. And as I sometimes my wife is a bit jealous because I really love my job. It's going around taking pictures of big cargo things and yeah, construction stuff. I've been juggling numbers and data and web-based things for many, many years. Now I suddenly have the chance to not only look at a screen, but you know, this little thing here is a really, it tells you everything that happens. So now I suddenly have a physical product to combine with my knowledge on data acquisition and help.
That's very interesting. And you're residing yourself in Silkeborg, and you've been there now for 4 years. What makes a Trusted and interesting company? Can you tell our viewers a little bit about the product that you actually do have?
Yes. What's a bit special is that we actually make everything ourselves here in Denmark. It's a made in Denmark tracking device, and you don't come around that very often with electronics.
Definitely not. I'm happy to hear it. So it's not made in Denmark and then underneath Shenzhen or something like that.
No. Okay. Exactly. This one here is handmade by us in Silkeborg. Mm-hmm. And of course, sometimes, you know, we're not very expensive. We're in the high end because it's good quality. And but we make the PCB here. We combine everything. So we do the firmware, the hardware, software, selling, everything under one roof.
Okay.
And we've actually been, we were founded 22 years ago.
All right.
And about 12 years ago, one of the clients in the house, they asked if we could do some tracking devices for wild animals in Africa.
Wow.
And that's why we became probably one of the toughest, if not the toughest and most advanced battery-driven trackers in the world, because a rhino or elephant or tigers, they tend to not be too tame. They're kind of hard to get a hold of. So once you drill it.
Peter, let me just quickly ask, you're not talking about my ex-wife, are you? You're talking about...
I don't think we have a tracker on her, no.
Okay, but it's just good to know I can get one, I mean.
Yes, of course. And since we uphold military clearance, your secret is safe with us. So.
Okay, that's good to hear. Peter, so basically the product you are making is battery-driven trackers for cargo, for animals, for anything that needs to be tracked so people know its whereabouts. Yeah,
if you want to know the humidity level, the temperature, the shock, the tilt, the light, mm-hmm. anything, then with positioning. Okay. And then just the smallest one here can live for about 4 years.
Okay.
I actually, when I last saw you in Holland, I just visited a client there. He had one of the old ones, and that one had been alive for 5 years now.
Wow,
transmitting once a day, so that's a bit funny.
No, it just comes to mind, you know, on the side here, besides running this newsletter, I also have a network of project forwarders. And I know that there was some claim about some transformer to the inland of Africa. And the receiver says, oh, it was damaged because of blah, blah, blah. And the shipper says, no, it wasn't. I mean, if they had had a tracking device, we could put all that discussion to rest, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We do a lot of transports on transformers for Hitachi Energy.
Okay.
And that's exactly what we do. We tell them the location and the size of the shock, and they also measure the length of the shock. So
okay, fantastic.
Key and numbers. Yep. So
understand. So just so I get it right, let's say I'm a freight forwarding company and I want this particular shipment to be tracked. Do I buy this unit from you and that's then my unit for as long as it lives, or do you buy a yes. license, or how does it?
It's a bit like your ex-wife. It's it's yours to love and to hold for as long as you
yes.
wish. Yeah. Almost.
I heard that.
No, but yes, it's your tracking device. You pay us a license that covers global GSM and access to all the data, alarms, all that. Okay. And it has a very large memory too. So even if you send it across the Atlantic, then when it comes close to shore, sometimes an island, I had one ship sailed past Bahamas and actually send all the data. Yeah, so then you get all your data.
And of course, it's based on internet, or let's say that it sends out signals that you then can collect when you are in range, right?
Exactly. It communicates the most sold of our trackers is an LTE tracker.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it comes to mainland China, India, Africa, usually, then it has a 2G fallback. Mm-hmm. You get bigger coverage. So the track automatically wakes up and goes, is there an LTE network here, you know, 4G, 5G?
Okay. So,
and if there is, it's fine. It'll just send the data. If there's not, it goes back on 2G and says, do I have a network here then?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So,
that's interesting. And how do you find, I mean, your product is made in Denmark, and we can say a lot about our both beautiful native country, but it ain't cheap to live there. You mentioned, there is, of course, a certain cost and so on. Do you find that you have competitors trying to copy you or trying to do the same? Or do you feel that there is a market for high quality products like yours? Apparently, there must be, since you've been there 20 years, right?
Oh, of course, there are always competitors. I don't know if they're copying us or, you know, it's we made IoT devices before IoT was a thing. Mm-hmm. And I think the sturdiness of our product is just second to none. So that's what a lot of our clients, they like. The lead time on new clients is really long, like several years sometimes.
Yeah.
But once we have them on board, they don't leave again, because it's yeah, we deliver. And if like we have some sensitive clients, mm-hmm. Since we hold the military clearance and everything,
yeah.
So if they have special needs, special demands for some external antennas or a 3D print with our tracker in it so it looks like something else, you know, then we do that. And because we have all the engineering capabilities in-house. So
that's perfect. No, I think it's good. And especially when you look at now the supply chain trouble and all the people who were in a rush to outsource everything to China, now they're in a jam because some decisions are made there and everybody's chock-a-block. You can do something at home. And why not? Why couldn't we do this at home, actually?
Exactly. I mean, our standard product will get you 99% of the way to, I mean, we solve most issues with our standard product. So it's really easy. We have two-way communication with it. So, you know, we can always adjust settings or. Okay.
And, you know, many of the viewers in Project Cargo Weekly, they might be ship owners. They might also be project freight forwarders. And we met by chance since you were down at the breakbulk in Rotterdam. So would you have freight forwarders as customers, for example, or a ship owner? Would you include them among your clientele?
Yes, let's take a client like United Nations. You know, they ship things to Africa, and sometimes things tend to get stuck in customs or somewhere else, or just disappear. And that's not nice for the shipper or the freight forwarder either. So by putting this on, you know, it's they can give their client certainty that, well, we've put this thing on it, and it's tracking its whereabouts and what's happening. So don't worry about it. We can prove if the container was stopped. Yes, I could tell stories for hours on what we've seen containers being cut open, so the seal is intact, and it's
incredible. I look forward to read your memoirs one day. But I suppose that you do have a certain let's say secrecy, or you're bound to a certain it is sensitive information, and you have a secrecy clause or NDA agreement, right?
Yes we do that with many clients, and as I said, I used to be an officer in the army, so did my CEO. And that makes us a bit nerdy and a bit crazy. It helps.
It definitely helps. Again, I'm happy that, especially in these volatile times, that we have this capability at home in Denmark. No, I think the product you have seems to be very interesting. How would you how has this tracking devices developed over the years? I mean, everything has gone so fast in both in techniques and whatnot from the beginning to now. What are the pitfalls? Can it ever not work, such a tracking device? Can it be bumped into by chance, or wind and tear, or weather, or how is it strong enough, so to speak?
We mold it with epoxy, so it's really rock solid. I could show you a video. The BBC in the UK, they made a program on our trackers. They actually ran it over with a steamroller. My old company car was a tank. I tried to run it over with that. We've really tried to kill it. We've tracked a submarine from Sweden to New Zealand. It's IP69, so whenever it comes up to the surface, it's fine. But of course, we have a lot of clients dealing with theft. And it's easy to buy a jammer nowadays. But the way our tracker works is it gets a handshake from the server. So if it doesn't get that handshake, it just stores the data, and it has 2,000 storage points. So it's you will get the data eventually. It's just a matter of time before the GSM coverage is there.
It sounds very impressive to me. I mean, especially in this cyber world that we are in. And I mean, you mentioned you can track a submarine from Sweden to New Zealand. Now I wonder, the Swedish Navy said they're missing one from Malmö.
Weren't they the ones that had a Russian submarine visit them too once?
you mean whiskey on the rocks?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember. Yeah. I was many kilos ago for me, but many years ago, it was the whiskey class submarine that went aground in Karlskrona.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Yeah, that wasn't.
What about you? What is your headcount in Silkeborg? As I said, how many are you working on this?
Roughly 20 people.
20 people.
So we're not the world's biggest company.
No.
But we've been there for a long time, all of us. And, you know, people tend to stay. It's a lovely. I usually say that there's my trusted family in Silkeborg, and then I have my own family here at home. We have a good working environment, and you know, it's a small family. We're tight, so and that makes it a lovely place to work too. That means a lot.
Certainly.
So
you mentioned, I just came across what you mentioned about the BBC, because at the end of this interview, I will ask you, or before we finish up, I'll ask you later on to provide some link to either video or pictures, so we can incorporate into this interview. Would you have some kind of link that really shows the sturdiness of this product and a little bit more in detail that you can publicize?
Yes, I can do that.
That's very good. So do you normally go to these transport expos like Breakbulk Rotterdam in general?
Yeah, I like Breakbulk because it's you don't really see many other tracking companies there, and tracking break bulk is one thing that we're really good at, and mm-hmm. and you know it's expensive cargo, and many strange things happen. I mean, I can see in your background, I think you have a ship with some windmill components.
Correct. Actually, I am in port right now.
No, but we track a lot of windmill components. Okay. And it's anything from humidity and shock, especially because that kills one of our clients. He says, Peter, we sell white windmills, not red.
Got it.
Because transporting a gearbox or something for an offshore windmill, you know, you can't see with the bare eye if it's been subjected to a 3.5 G shock.
No.
But it gets this really small damage inside. It's the same with the transformers.
Yeah.
So 2 or 3 years later, the windmill breaks down, and I've heard something about $10,000 a day, and I think everybody can only guess how much it costs to get a ship out there and jack it up and open the windmill. And you know, you don't want, just because that guy in the harbor had to go home to his future ex-wife.
That's another network which is growing. But anyway, I do see what you're getting at, and better prevent than to cure. I mean, especially as things tend to become more technical. Yes, when you ask, this picture is indeed, it's a United heavy lift vessel up in the north of Sweden, actually, with wind turbines. So in Shipman-Holmen, and of course, speaking of renewable energy, it's massive in here, into especially Sweden and Finland at the moment. It's just, I think piling in with the equipment. So if you have them as customers, the sky's the limit for you at the moment, I would say.
Exactly.
Do you have any, let's say, do you have any restrictions as to the amount of, let's say, gadgets you can make, or is it just produce as many as possible?
Not really, no. Our CTO, Nico, and Nils, my CEO, they're both really good at getting the right components. So the sky's the limit.
Okay.
Nils, my CEO, he always says, Peter, don't stop selling. I'll make sure we have enough components.
it sounds like you have a good team there.
Yes, we do.
one question, Peter, is there any, you know, in these times, we also talk a lot, we talk sustainability, we talk ethics, blah, 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 blah. Is there, or are there, not is there, are there any specific rules governing tracking devices that you have to adhere to as a producer in Europe or EU, or, you know?
Of course, there's like the United Nations 17 goals, and of course we try to live up to as many of them as possible. It is electronics, it is lithium batteries, it is plastic. I mean, it's a black product, but we have everything under control with the substance regulations. Where does what come from? All the certifications, all those things.
Yeah, but my question was also relating to whether there is some kind of governmental, you know, to give you an analogy here in Sweden, for example, authorities here in Sweden, they cannot share information because of Secrecy Act and stuff like that.
GDPR.
Yeah, or whatever it's called. There's so many abbreviations now. Do you have any rules in your line of business governing what you do, or you don't have any restrictions to?
Oh, yes, we do. Because it's especially in Germany. I have a lot of clients in Germany, and they're very strict on what is it we're tracking. Are we tracking a machine, or are we tracking the man controlling the machine?
Right.
But we have this GDPR or DSGVO, call it there, mm-hmm. and that's a lot on the data storage, data provider, and of course, like at Trusted, we have two-factor logins. We store everything in Asia, which is a very, very secure cloud environment. Same with our premises, are regularly inspected by Danish authorities. And that allows us to have some special clients that their secrets are safe with us.
I think it sounds to me like you have a really a very timely and solid product, and the way that you confidently speak about it. I like this. I think a lot of even small and medium-sized customers should actually be talking to you. Is it so that you also, I mean, you are not only for the high-nosed clients, you also have normal people as clients, if you know what I mean.
We love normal people. Yeah. So, yes, of course, of course. Lots and lots. It's always easy to brag with the big clients.
Yeah.
But of course, we have lots of smaller clients. Yeah. We love them just as much as the big ones. Yeah. It's not really a big change there.
No, that's good to hear, because honestly speaking, in shipping business nowadays, you know yourself, size has now become, especially since the going is so good, that you know,
it's, yeah, exactly,
guy, and a lot of our viewers here, they are smaller and medium sized, who I feel are actually the backbone of any success. So it's good that you are supporting them.
Of course, I love a client that buys 500 trackers, but
of course,
if he or she buys 5. It's fine. Yeah. They will still get all the good love and tenderness that we can give them, and all the support. That's yeah, what we're really good at. So I have a colleague in the US now, Joe. He can support them over there. And of course, our crew here in Denmark, we try to be flexible and speak many different languages.
Very, very good. Now, because as I mentioned earlier, separately in my network, I got about 240 project forwarders in 135 countries. I'll definitely make sure they see this interview, which is, of course, separately published in Project Cargo Weekly. But very, very interesting thing you've got. And I'm sure seeing is believing, that when we incorporate what you send me into the interview, that it'll be something that people are, you'll definitely be approached by several from around the world. We got about 39,000 people receiving Project Cargo Weekly every Thursday.
Wow. Cool.
So it's not some number I'm just pulling out of a hat.
No.
It doesn't mean we have 39,000 readers. I wish, but you know, but at least it gets around.
Well, I have met you around, so it was our first encounter in Amsterdam, or in Rotterdam.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. But it's like we say, what it was not expected, but you did sound like you were Danish walking up there on the gangway almost. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Very good, Peter. But listen, I think formally I'd like to say, I think I've come actually to the end. Your product is solid. You have a good production base, high quality, made in Denmark. So that I've been convinced of. So formally, I want to say many, many thanks, Peter.
Thank you. It was good to see you again.
Likewise. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. And our special guest of honor today has been Mr. Peter Nissen, the sales director of Trusted, a most versatile and competent company in tracking, producing tracking devices in Denmark, Scandinavia. Stay tuned for more recordings and interviews in the near future. Thank you.